That's a text, the first part of which will be familiar to some of you, the last part perhaps not. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." And Father, powerful words about your love. We hear about it a lot, but there are times we just feel like we just don't experience it, and that you're somewhere far, far away, and your eyes can't see us. Lord, quicken in us the belief that indeed you have eyes on us. Your arms are around us. Whether we can see you, whether we can feel your presence or not, you are there with us. And Lord, help us to want to be there with you as much as you want to be here with us. Come, Lord Jesus, in your name I do pray it. Amen and amen. Something's been on my mind since Easter morning of last year. Last year I preached the sunrise service there on the bluff overlooking the May River on the historic campus. And when the service was over with, a fella came up to me. He said, "Father, I've heard you preach several times during all the years you've been here in Bluffton. And I need to tell you that I am having a hard time believing what I hear you say in your sermons. Having a hard time believing it. Because I'm struggling to believe that God loves me. And every time I hear you preach somewhere in the service, you tell me to never doubt God's love for me. But there are lots and lots of times when I don't even love myself. Help me to understand how this is possible." Now, I briefly tried to explain to him that human love is so vastly different from God's love that most of us can't really begin to understand God's love. But we believe it. We believe it by faith. We believe it because the Bible tells us that God loves us. And we believe it because our eyes of faith are open to see God continually showing us his love day in and day out. The fellow thanked me as he turned to walk away. But I sensed that his doubts were still there. I wonder, do you doubt this morning that God loves you? Lots of folks do. I think he did. That question the man posed to me over a year ago has been on my mind a lot. In fact, there have been times when that question, really, you might say it haunted me. Haunted me because I've been here at the Church of the Cross 26 years. This is my 26th Easter season here in this parish. And every year for 26 years, I've labored and I've prayed over the scriptures, intent on finding ways to make the resurrection of Jesus Christ even more real and even more relevant in our post-Easter lives. But if there are still folks who haven't gotten that message, if there are still folks in the congregation who doubt God's love for them, then obviously I've missed the mark. See? So today I want to speak to you about God's love in the simplest kind of ways that I know how. instead of trying to come up with all kinds of ways to make God's love as evidenced in Jesus Christ more real to you, instead of using big sentences, instead of using lofty vocabulary, I want to be speaking to you in the simplest way about God's love that I can. Because you see, ultimately, that's what the life and the death and resurrection of Jesus is all about. It's all about God's love. As I speak to you this morning, I'm going to be using a few very simple analogies. I'll be using two examples from history, and I'll be sharing one of my most favorite stories from over the years together. And in all of it, I'm going to be trying to drive home one point and one point only. And that point is this. All of Christianity is based on God's irrational love for you and me. A love so passionate that God doesn't hesitate to show it to us in physical ways. Ways that the world might call foolish. Let's think about God's love for a moment. For simplicity's sake, envision God in heaven. He's walking around on those proverbial streets of gold. He's surrounded by angels who are always, always singing his praises. We might say that God doesn't have a care in this world. But what does God choose to do? God chooses to give all of that up, to give it all up, to become a human being in Jesus Christ, and to let himself be raised by a young girl and a carpenter. God chose to leave heaven and to walk the rocky roads of Palestine as one of the oppressed Jewish people and to eke out an existence as a common laborer. Doesn't that seem foolish to you? Why we wouldn't dare think of doing something as irrational as giving up our comfortable existence for someone else, would we? But then, God's ways are not like our ways. God's love for us is so passionate that he doesn't hesitate to show it to us in physical ways. Ways that the world might call foolish. When Jesus was 33, after just 3 years of ministry, he decided to take on the established Hebrew religion and the Roman Empire at the same time. And he didn't do it in politically correct ways either. No. Bold as brass, he came parading into Jerusalem riding on a donkey with thousands and thousands of people watching. Doesn't that seem foolish to you? Well, we wouldn't dare think of doing something as irrational as openly confronting the kingdoms of this world, would we? But then, God's ways are not like our ways. God's love for us is so passionate that he doesn't hesitate to show it to us in physical ways. Then on the night before Jesus was handed over to his enemies, he invited 12 of his closest friends to share a last supper with him. Now, we can all relate to that. We all like to entertain and go on away parties. Those are always special. But then Jesus spoils the whole evening for us. He spoils the whole evening by getting down on his knees and insisting on washing everybody's feet. And then he says that if we really love somebody, that we've got to be willing to show them, that we've got to be willing to serve them in a similar manner. Doesn't that seem foolish to you? Well, we wouldn't dare think of doing something as irrational as violating Martha Stewart's guidelines for social etiquette, would we? See? But then God's ways are not like our ways. God's love for us is so passionate that he doesn't hesitate to show us in physical ways, ways that the world might call foolish. The next morning, the authorities put Jesus on trial. They slandered him. They abused him. And he didn't even threaten to sue him. In fact, Jesus didn't even hire a lawyer to defend him against the trumped-up charges. Jesus said he was willingly giving up his life so that others might live. Doesn't that seem foolish to you? Well, we wouldn't dare think of doing something as irrational as allowing ourselves to be punished for someone else's crimes, would we? No, we wouldn't. But then God's ways are not like our ways. God's love for us is so passionate that he doesn't hesitate to show it to us in physical ways. Ways that the world might call foolish. And that brings me to the first great truth that I want to share with you about God's love this morning. And it's this. God's ways are not like our ways. And they never will be. But our ways can be more like God's ways. You see, God loves us so passionately that he came to be with us. And in Jesus, God gave us a glimpse of who we could be. In Jesus, God gave us a glimpse of the new life that could be ours if we would just love others the way that God loves us. Passionately. Passionately. Without caring what the world might think. Now, I know that by now some of y'all are probably thinking all this sounds really good. But Jesus was God in human form. Jesus was perfect, and we're not. And to even think that we might be even just a little bit more like Jesus is just too much of a stretch for us. So let me give you a few examples of God's passionate love revealed in people that perhaps you can relate to a little more closely. Princess Alice was the second daughter of Queen Victoria and Albert. I'm sure you all saw that miniseries about Victoria and the music and all that. It was great, great. Perhaps you remember from history that Victoria and Albert had nine children, and so Princess Alice had eight siblings. In time, Princess Alice married, and she had six children of her own. And Princess Alice adored her children. Her children adored her, and it was a very close-knit family. In the winter of 1878, Princess Alice's four-year-old son, Ernest, contracted the dread disease of black diphtheria. You see his face circled there along with Princess Alice. In those days, to contract black diphtheria was a death sentence. That little child was sure to die. Princess Alice's doctors warned the princess to stay away from her son. And they put Ernest in a little bedroom by himself. No, it wasn't a little bedroom, in a bedroom by himself, and had some nurses in there with him. And one day, Princess Alice was outside the child's bedroom door, listening. And she heard her little boy ask the nurse, "Why doesn't my mother kiss me anymore?" It was more than Princess Alice could stand. She burst into the room. She ran over to her little child's bed. She picked that child up in her arms. She smothered the child with kisses. It was the kiss of death. In a matter of weeks, both of them were buried.
Here's the point. Princess Alice had been willing to risk death because of her love for her son. Princess Alice loved her child the way that Jesus loves you and me. She loved her child so passionately that she didn't hesitate to show it to him in a physical way. A way that the world might call foolish. Here's another example. During World War II, Denmark was one of many countries that were dominated by the Germans. Denmark had a gracious and godly king, appropriately named King Christian. King Christian knew that he couldn't oppose the Nazis with military force. But he knew that he could, and indeed he did, oppose them with moral courage. One day the king noticed that a German flag was flying over one of the public buildings there in the capital city of Denmark. After reminding the German commander that was a violation of the treaty between the two nations, King Christian told the commander, he said, "That flag must be removed before 12 o'clock, or I will send a soldier to take it down." At 5 minutes before noon, the German flag was still flying, and the king announced that a Danish soldier was being sent to take the flag down. The German commander responded, "That soldier will be shot." To which the king responded, "I think that you should know that I will be that soldier." The German flag came down. Why? Because Denmark had a king who was willing to die for his people. See, King Christian loved his people the way Jesus loves you and me. So passionately that he didn't hesitate to show it to them in a physical way. A way the world might call foolish. Dear ones, loving the way Princess Alice loved her son, loving the way King Christian loved the people of Denmark, loving the way Jesus loves you and me, does not come naturally. It doesn't come naturally for princesses. It doesn't come naturally for kings. It doesn't come naturally for any of us. You see, loving the way that Jesus loves is only possible through the power of the risen Christ. 2,000 years ago, Jesus hung on a cross for 6 hours, and he died there. He died there because he loves you and me so much and so passionately that he wanted the world to know it. 3 days after Jesus' dead body was taken down from that cross and buried, his tomb was empty. Jesus is alive, my friends, and his power has been unleashed so that you and I, not unleashed out there, unleashed in here, unleashed in you, so that you and I can begin to lead new and resurrected lives. New resurrected lives marked by loving others passionately. Loving others passionately without caring what the world might think. A final story makes the point. The farmer had some puppies for sale. He made a sign advertising the puppies for sale, went out to the corner of his property, and he was nailing that sign up on a post so that folks on the roadway could see it. And as he was nailing the sign up, he felt a tug on his overalls. Looked down, there was a little fellow there. Big old smile on his face, and he had something in his hand. Little boy said, "Mister, I want to buy one of your puppies. The farmer said, well, son, these puppies come from very good mamas and daddies. They're going to cost a good bit. Little boy's head kind of drooped down a little bit, but then in just a moment or two, it popped back up again. That big old smile was right there, and he held his hand out. He said, I got 39 cents. Is that enough to take a look? Farmer said, sure, son. And he turned around, he whistled, and he called out. He said, Dolly, here, Dolly. And out of the doghouse came a beautiful yellow lab, followed by four little balls of fur. The little boy saw that, his eyes just started dancing, the smile got as big, it felt like his whole face was going to bust open. And then another little ball of fur came tumbling out of that doghouse and began hobbling along, trying vainly in effort to catch up with the others. It was obviously the runt of the litter. When the little fellow saw that puppy, he pointed to it, he started, he said, I want that one, I want that one. The farmer knelt down by him, he said, son, you don't want that little puppy. That puppy's crippled. He's never going to be able to run and play with you like the others would. At that, the little boy reached down and pulled up one leg of his jeans. And as he did, he revealed two steel bars coming down by the side of his leg that hooked into a shoe there. He said, you see, sir, I don't run too well myself. That puppy's going to need someone who understands him. You and I kind of hobble along, don't we? We need somebody who understands us. That somebody is Jesus. Jesus loves us in spite of ourselves. And maybe he loves us even more because all of the bumps and bruises and the braces and the messed up limbs and lives that we have. And I think maybe in a very real way, Jesus' love is like the love of the little boy for that puppy. It goes out to the least and the littlest. Ever thought of the fact that in the great scheme of things, you might be the runt of the litter? And you need somebody who understands you. Jesus loves you like that. And he's given us his power so that we can love others that way too. And how does Jesus love you and how does he love me? The way that little fella loved that puppy who was hobbling along. Jesus loves us passionately without caring what the world might think. You see, God so loved us that he came to be among us, took on human form, left heaven and did what you and I wouldn't do. Gave it all up. Why? Because he loved us. Loved us. God became man in Jesus to show us that there's a better way. To show us that we can be better people. To show us how much we're loved and indeed to empower us through his Spirit to be able to love others in the same way. He didn't care what the world thought. And neither should we. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to worship and we're dressed up and we put our best foot forward and we try to pretend there's nothing going on. But you see right through us. right through us. You see who we are? And at the same time, you see who we were created to be. And you see that big gap between reality and possibility that we don't see. We don't want to dare to even think about it. We don't want to acknowledge that in the great scheme of things, we're the run of the litter. We think we're the top dog. But you know better. And you loved us so much that you picked us out of the whole crowd to love us. You didn't care what the world thought. And now you ask us to love others in the same way. Passionately, passionately, passionately. Come, Lord Jesus. Let it be so in our time. In your way. And for your glory. Amen and amen.